Are you insane?
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate. But met frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher, I'm Nero.
If any of you are wondering why this music is different, it's because I, my old computer, it self-destructed a little while ago. I had like a motherboard issue. It was like a 2012 MacBook Air, and I knew it was happening. Every once in a while, it would just die, and then one day I tried to boot it up, and it was gone. Luckily, I had backed it up. I backed up on a hard drive just as Data tried to back up before. And we all were very hopeful of that. But then, of course, that did not come to pass, as we have heard in Picard. But in doing so, I threw out some files as I was going through the new version. I have a new MacBook Air. This is a long, useless story, but it's to tell you why that piece of music, which is a YouTube free piece of music, and I have to go dig that up again. But I'm thinking about changing the whole opening anyways, because now we have a couple of new series, Discovery and Picard, and neither of those are represented. Whether or not I want them to be represented might be besides the point, because I think I have, maybe I don't have anything from Enterprise in this right now, in that opening. That opening sequence. Yeah, so that explains to you why I have that weird music, which I composed a long time ago. Did I? I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My name is Mike McCafferty. This is the podcast you're listening to. It's called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. Can you believe it's been about 4 years since I started this? I can't believe that. I remember starting this off just because it was the 50th anniversary in 2016, and I was like, what the hell, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to put my life through the lens of Star Trek. And then my good friend Brian Weissel, after hearing a couple of the episodes, pushed it on to Feral Audio, and then they picked it up, and then Feral Audio went away. Feral Audio. But I kept going, and now we're with Starburns Audio, and I don't know what's going on with them. I emailed them a few weeks ago, never heard back. I think I'm sort of adjunct to them. But it doesn't matter, because this is like episode 150, and after 4 years, I'm still doing this. And if you're listening this long, thank you. If you've just started, thank you and welcome. If you're wondering where the Picard reviews or recaps are in this podcast, this will serve as a bridge, to tell you that, we tried something a little different last week. We have a Facebook page. Which I entreat you to go to and check it out. It's pretty cool. Hold on one second. Just got to close the door sometimes. We have a Facebook page, and I encourage you to go there because there's lively debate about things. I post funny pictures and all sort of stuff. And the other day we were up in San Jose to bid adieu to my friend Matt Stomping Thompson. He's going up there to teach. And so we tried to do kind of a live video stream, and it worked out okay. Facebook did quit out on us once, so there's actually two videos. And if you go to the Facebook page, you will see our 45-minute in-depth recap of both episode 1 and 2 of Picard. And I want to point you to that, because if you're going, what happened? Why did Mike not do this? Well, first of all, I was traveling. And secondly, I was trying to pull the audio from it to post on this, but it just wasn't that good. Not that I care about the audio that much, as you know, as we sit in this kind of echoey room here. But for you who are just the podcast listeners, who don't subscribe to Facebook, and someday we'll all either be controlled by Facebook, it will be a rogue Borg cube. We'll all be sitting in there as Facebook drones peel us apart, as they do in that second episode of Picard. I want to just have sort of this kind of bonus content with just some ramblings about the first two episodes of Picard. And I think it's okay if I do this, if I don't go through it. We did, all four of us, the doctor and chief engineer Jason was part of this. But I wanted to come here and just say a few things, because it's, as we watch these episodes, I don't know how to properly critique them in some ways. If more than any other episodes I've seen in television for a while, these first two episodes, and I'm going to steal, IndieWire had a review of it, and they said, when is Picard going to start the series? And this really feels like it. This show really feels like a show that doesn't know how to start, and it feels, and Michael Chabon, who's an author, a novelist, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, it feels as though he's trying to build a book. And if you've ever read a book, I remember reading Dune. Dune is about 60 pages of absolute bonkers nonsense that they have a glossary in the back, and you don't know what the hell's going on. But once they get all that out of the way, and you understand what they're talking about, the Gom Jabbar, and you know the Quetzalcoatl, Hadarach, and all that sort of nonsense. I just made up those words. Then the story starts to take shape, and then you're like, oh my God, this is great. And that's how most novels work. You have to kind of endure the first couple of episodes, these kind of table setting things, because there's nothing visual to cue you in a, or audio, to be honest. Everything has to be described. Everything has to be described, especially in science fiction. Otherwise, you have no frame of reference. In a TV show, even in an audiobook, I mean, at least you can hear and see stuff and say, oh, there's a spaceship. Oh, we're in outer space. I don't need to understand that. I get that. And I just wonder if Michael Chabon is still kind of drafting on to that idea that I need to tell everyone everything. And I don't necessarily have to show it. I just need to tell you about this. This is a common refrain from a lot of people who watch the first three episodes, that it is sort of like, let's get the band back together and let's not, but let's get a team together and then let's go. So it's almost like these first three episodes are almost prologue. I haven't seen the third episode, but I'm presuming that's what it's going to be. They're finally going to get the spaceship. They're probably going to go somewhere. You'll notice that this patterns a lot after All Good Things, where an old Picard with aromatic syndrome has to collect his old friends and go off on a mission. Except in this version, he's like, no, if I asked them, they would die for me to do this. Well, what are you asking these other people to do? So as I go through these, it's hard to individually review these. And I think, you know, a lot of people are having trouble with that, because this, if anything, feels like a full 10 episodes of story that we're not going to understand or be able to make judgment on. And in some ways, that's almost a fault of the new Trek and the new storylines that are being told in a lot of television. I make television on occasion, and I know that these are problems. I've made episodic, and I've made episodic that have serialized components to them. I also write Hallmark films, which are self-contained two-hour things. And I, when I watch some of these shows, even like Watchmen or things like that, I don't ever need to see particular episodes again. I don't think I'll ever need to watch episode two for pleasure of Picard. I'm really jonesing to watch episode two of Picard, or episode one for that reason. Maybe little bits and pieces. But think about like The Inner Light. Do you go back and say, oh, you know, that's episode four of, you know, season five. I have to watch the whole season in order to understand it. No. There's something that this new way of telling stories, especially for Star Trek, are missing, which is these kind of episodic little morality tales, these little fables in space that I think we're missing. And so this is a long way of me telling you that I'm not going to do a blow-by-blow recount of the first two episodes of Picard. We'll talk to you about things I like, things I don't in this little mini podcast. And you can, as again, you can all watch it on the Facebook page, but I want to have these also a little separate, this little bit of a deeper dive, so as you're driving, as you're listening, I can kind of really expound on stuff. Because those other three people, they just got in my way. They just kept talking about other stuff I didn't want to talk about. And sometimes they disagreed with my point, and my point is correct. I do have to, no matter how Picard ends up, in contrast to Discovery, which was, and even Star Trek 2009, but especially Discovery, which was, we're not your father's Star Trek. Look at all these cool things we're doing. This is not the Star Trek you remember. We're going to make it different. What joy I felt from looking in the opening scenes of Picard and seeing the Enterprise D in all her glory, and seeing Picard there in 10 Ford playing cards with Data. And as a side note, whatever they did with the CG to kind of smooth him out, Brent Spiner and that makeup, they did a much better job in that. And when they're outdoors and he's painting, it doesn't look like his hairpiece is floating on his head. And I've seen some photos where, I mean, that really is his hairpiece. I'm like, what have they done? Have they not seen the show? I am happy that we do see the non-Kelvin timeline Enterprise D. They haven't screwed around with it. They haven't screwed around with the outfits. I mean, in some ways, it's fine because this is the prime timeline, and you're going to have to watch Avengers Endgame to understand how they're doing time, at least for this show, which is that it's baffling in some ways, because if Spock goes back in time and changes time so that the original Enterprise does not exist, the original Captain Kirk in all their iterations do not exist, it's the Chris Pine, and this is the Chris Pine timeline, with all the changes that occurred from Spock going back and the Kelvin being destroyed, and then somehow that changed everything, changed the designs, it changed the way Kirk was brought up, it changed the way the costumes and the ships all look, then how did this not prolificate into the Next Generation designs? Everything we're seeing from that is from the canon universe. So are we in the canon universe, or are we in the prime universe, the Kelvin universe? Those are sort of synonymous in some ways. It's almost as though there's three different timelines going on. And what we're seeing, especially in those images of Picard with Worf and Picard in his kind of his nemesis white outfit there, that's the canon universe. That's the universe which exists prior to the bad robot universe coming in and tipping over the apple cart. It's hard for me to understand what universe we're in. I know we're in the Bad Robot Kelvin universe, but I don't know if they know where they're at either. I don't think anyone does. What are some other musings I have on this? I like the two Romulan actors. I mean, we talked about this in the Facebook podcast, but I do enjoy the acting in this. I will say that Patrick Stewart is playing Patrick Stewart more than he's playing Jean-Luc Picard in this. I will say that if you really think about it, a lot of the stuff that happens with Picard in this is a bit of an affront. Let me just go into this. What is it? This new Romulan super secret agency, which is embedded inside the Tal Shiar and is somehow embedded into Starfleet, just bums me out. In some ways, everything that Star Trek Next Generation stood for is now wasted, because you have infiltrators from the Tal Shiar, or whatever it is, the Romulans, are now firmly embedded inside Starfleet with this Commodore and the Vulcan, non-Vulcan, Romulan sister of Narc, whatever his name is. It's everything that Picard fought for, everything that we thought was part of Starfleet, that this man gave his life's work for, is once again been rendered ineffective because these writers cannot help themselves but to embrace these super secret clandestine organizations which infiltrate everything which is important, that we hold important about Star Trek, at least that I hold important about Star Trek. Let me tell you about something else that I kind of realized. I was talking with my friend, and some of my friends, a friend of the podcast, Ryan Nagata, he in general enjoyed the first episode, and I think we all enjoyed it to a degree. And when I say enjoy, I think the word is actually relief. Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek 2009 have certainly run roughshod over a lot of the things that we liked about the original Star Trek. And certainly, it should not be made this kind of frozen in carbonite, Star Wars reference, series where it's like, oh, you must never deviate from anything. But certainly when they're bringing back Picard, I think we all held our collective breath, like, please, please don't mess this up. Please don't ruin not only this character, but this actor in our minds. And for, by and large, for the first episode, they didn't. The second episode starts to go down a deeper path. We start to learn a little more about why he left and the fact that he didn't stick around and fight. He quit rather than leave, and that doesn't feel like a Picard thing. So in some ways, we have this broken Picard, this Picard who gave up, who resigned rather than stuck around and fought, even though I think the argument for, you know, for not helping the Romulans, it's a valid one. It's like, do you help your greatest foe, or do you lose half of the Federation? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I was talking to my friend Ryan about it, and he generally liked it. My friend Brian, and friend of the pod, Brian Weissel, earlier invoked in this podcast, hated it, just absolutely hated the pilot. And went through a bunch of different reasons why, and I found validity to those. But I was talking with Ryan about it, and I was kind of joking about how I didn't like the second episode as much as the first. I really railed against this Vosh something. What is it? Vosh Dot or something like that. This super secret Romulan organization. I don't have any notes here. And he said, you hate Star Trek. Just kind of jokingly, or like you're curmudgeonly against Star Trek. And I started to realize that the older we get, especially with this show of 52 years, 54 years now, we start off, whenever we join up Star Trek, and really with any show, as explorers, just like in Star Trek. And then eventually, we slowly become archivists and archaeologists. We slowly dig through the remnants of the show over and over again. We archive things. We remember things. And we should. We should. These are important things to us. And we archive them. And we dig them up. And we look at them in different ways. And we dust them off. And we put them through electron microscopes and all these wonderful things to glean whatever little piece of information we can take from them. Just anything we can find out about these things. It's funny. Well, that's a different story. That's a Raiders of the Lost Ark story. But we do that, and one of the consequences is that we step away from the new of Discovery and Picard. Now, I have systemic problems with Discovery and a little bit with Picard because of the way they're telling these stories. And I don't necessarily care about... I mean, I think the acting in Discovery, the more I think about it, I mean, I think it's really good. I think the acting in Picard is exceptional. I even like... the younger characters, I thought, David Paymer, who does not blink in this, who is the doctor in the Stargazer. I don't know why they don't have Beverly Crusher. Probably because it would be the exact same thing as all good things, isn't it? Where she's telling him he has an aromatic syndrome and he's going to experience all these time shifts. So they just, you know, invoked David Paymer and pulled him in. He's 66, I think, and just, whoa, he... looked the same age as Picard. So I am trying to stay wide-eyed and open to these new ideas as more of an explorer than an archaeologist for these things. But as they keep on bringing us these things, which are embedded in history, embedded in archaeology, it's difficult not to, isn't it? If you're going to trot out Patrick Stewart as Jean-Luc Picard, then we're going to cross-reference and say, huh, well, that's different. Is this the Picard we remembered? That we loved, that would stand up and fight for anything. This wonderful negotiator, this wonderful ambassador. Or is he someone who shied away and ran away when the Federation needed him the most? Now, these are bold statements I'm making about him, but ultimately, he walked away from Starfleet. That is the broken man we are being presented. And I don't know if that's what we want, but it's what we got. Now, again, it's hard to make a distinction on this and say this is what the show is about, because essentially, especially with this Picard, it seems as though we're being handed a 10-episode episode, a 10-installment episode. Let's see the inner light in 10 hours. Right. Let's see. Sitting on the edge of forever in 10 hours. Let's see in the pale moonlight in 10 hours. Can you do that? Can you remember all this? And if you can, how is minutes 4 through 7? Is that something you love? I don't know. I'll be interested to see how these things all unfold. But for now, I'm just kind of picking at stuff. I think we talked about it. When that weirdo guy in the beginning of the first episode used the word tragic, your replicator menu is tragic. It feels like a bunch of old people looking up on Google cool things that young kids say, and they came across the word tragic. I wish he would have said something like, "Man, we reach." Remember that in when the space hippies, the Herbert, you know, "Hey man, are you a Herbert?" I love that they came up with new stuff. Don't say tragic. That's tragic in and of itself. All right, that's basically what I wanted to go through. I just kind of want to give you guys a small sampling of my kind of larger thoughts as we move into Picard and into other things. And I am privy to other information about other shows, which may or may not be existing soon. And that's something you get to know. Me as a writer, maybe I've been contacted about something which hasn't been announced yet. Or maybe I haven't. I don't know. But, and maybe that's a little nugget as a pod listener you get to hold on to. Don't tell anyone I told you that. All right, so I'll leave you with that. I will be podcasting continuously. I'm not going to stop that. That's the other thing I want to let you guys know. Even though we did that kind of that streaming thing, because I also, from a longer standpoint, I don't know what the future podcasts are either, but I'm not going to leave you guys. I'm going to find a way to take, if I do live podcasts, live streaming kind of shows, these will always try to be podcasts. I just need to figure out ways of doing this. Excuse me, I burped. And Chief Engineer Jason will figure that out so that we will record and then we'll be able to put it down there. But I am trying to be an explorer myself. I'm not an archivist of the way I disseminate information to you guys. So, thank you for listening, as always. Make sure you tell someone about this. Make sure you tell Shiar someone about this. And I hope to hear from you soon. All right? You guys are all wonderful people for listening to this and listening to my ramblings. This was a ramble. This was a first-class ramble. But it's good. It's always good. And thank you for listening. My name is Mike McCafferty. You know what I like to do? I just like to talk about Star Trek.
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand?
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
I meant to say that it should be hauled away.
Ah.